Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I had not thought our guest was going to be able to join us today. She's on the road traveling, but Terry Lipsy, who I've been telling you about, who has had a phenomenal life experience, was able to join me. So the first half of our show today, we're going to be talking directly with Terry. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's so great to be here.
Now, Terry, where are you today?
I'm in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Well, I know that you're a woman that has experienced a journey that I don't know how many other people in the world will experience it, but it is a positive story. And your book is titled Through Thick and Thin, The Terry Lipsy Story. Dr. Dick Newman wrote the beginning part of your book, because this is a journey about dealing with obesity. And your story to me was such a wonderfully heartwarming story because of your candor, of the details that you share in your story. And I have to bring in something. I was having the oil changed in my car. Now, this is really going to sound wacky.
Okay.
But I was having the oil changed in my car, and of course, in every facility you go into anymore, there's televisions that are up in front of you.
Right.
And there is an interview with people that had lost over 700 pounds.
Wow.
People not unlike you, and I'm going, isn't this interesting? I've got this interview this
afternoon.
Right.
Oh,
my God. 700 pounds, people that have battled the bulge. And,
yes.
You know, big time. What was your highest weight, Terry?
My highest weight ever was 305 pounds.
Now, I've got a picture of you in front of me. You're an absolutely gorgeous woman.
Well, thank you.
And I also have a picture of you when you weighed 305 pounds. And in your book, you have someone that makes a statement, my God, you look like you're 40 years younger with your weight loss. And that's really true, because when you're carrying that much weight, you have all of this excess fat around the face and your whole body. It does make you look a lot older.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it does. It definitely takes a toll on the body. And you could definitely see, obviously, the difference.
Now, Dr. Snyder, Michael Snyder,
mm-hmm.
is a gentleman that also is mentioned in your book. And he's very clear. He's with the Denver Center for Bariatric Surgery. But I want to, before we get into the discussion about bariatric surgery, I want you to tell my audience a little bit about your life, because you really had a good family.
Yes, I really did, and I talk a lot about it in the book about, you know, sometimes people think that when you have such a struggle like weight, in my case, that, you know, what went wrong? Like, what happened? You know, was something in my childhood? Was I neglected that I turned to food? But really, Donna, I couldn't say that it was those things. I had an awesome mother, an awesome father. We had, you know, what you would call, I guess, the normal family,
mm-hmm.
Middle-class family. And I had love around me. It was just one of those things. It was a couple of things. I would say a lot of times it's about education. And really what my parents knew about health and nutrition, they passed on to me, which was they had very little knowledge. So before they knew it, I had a weight problem that was spiraling out of control. And we all, as a family, were trying to work together to be able to get it under control. And really, my upbringing, everything in my life from my childhood was wonderful. It was always this one nagging thing, and it's the weight.
Mm-hmm. I love your comments in the beginning of your book. You said, To put it simply and succinctly, I was overweight because I overate. The fat I was accumulating around my middle and on my hips was the result of overactive silverware. Oh, my goodness. This is a lady I'm going to enjoy interviewing.
Yeah, you know, that's going around. That's going around.
Yes. I mean, that. I think so often we will hear so many different statements about different things, and it's as if everybody wants to avoid the fact, you know, that there is this reality. You, dependent on your body, dependent on your genetic makeup, and your genetic makeup was so efficient, a little bit with you goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be nothing for you to be able to pack on the pounds if you ate and, you know, just were enjoying food and just kept enjoying it. And it's just your genetic predispositioning, and it's something that is it's a fascinating pattern, and it's very hard for us sometimes just to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, I say, you know, talk about the overactive silverware. My parents had a restaurant, and all they served, you know, was big, juicy burgers, French fries, malts and shakes and everything that you can think of, and a whole rack of candy. So I was around that constantly, being in the restaurant all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I could just go up to the ice cream machine and make me, you know, 2, 3, 4 ice cream cones and just keep going and going and going. And so, you know, it just started out that way, and it started out as a pattern, and then it just became worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that's so easy for us to ignore. And lots of times, and I know because I've had to deal with a weight problem all of my life. That's something that's always been there. And I have to be conscientious because I'm
mm-hmm.
petite. So that's something that on me, some 5 pounds is like 15 or 20 on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those patterns. But when you say, you know, you can just go and go and go and go and you're eating. You're not even thinking about what you're eating.
Uh-huh.
You're just eating it. It's just going in. And then all of a sudden you get on the scales and you go, hey, what? I haven't been eating very much.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. And you said you have an attitude about this, though, that I thought was so good. You said you don't look back on it because what you've been through, you had been through.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, if I look back, I don't solve the problem. I have to deal with where I am today. You are a well-adjusted kid.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good life. And you just were put. When did your mother start putting you on diets, though? She started to be very concerned about you at what age?
Oh, yes, very young age. I would say it was really noticeable around 7 or 8 years old to
yep.
where it was like, hey, you know, something might be going on here. You know, I started to get the little pudge in the front, and that pudge became a big belly in the front. And it was like, okay, what are we going to do now? So I tried everything. I mean, my mom, she had SlimFast. She had everything that you can think of that I tried, and nothing seemed to work. And as a child, I mean, we really don't have the understanding. It's really not clicking in our minds, you know, how important
mm-hmm.
this is and how detrimental this can be to my health one day if I continue on at this pace. So while her goal was, you know, we have a problem here that we need to address, my goal at the same time was, hey, I need to get some more Snickers. I mean, what is she thinking? You
mm-hmm.
know, as a child, you're not thinking, oh, yeah, Mom, hand me the salad, you know. You're thinking about what I'm missing out, you know, on all the stuff that I'm used to eating. It's just chocolate and goodies and all those things. And so changing that and reversing that and having to have the responsibility even as a child to make the right decisions at school. You know, you're around everyone else. Everyone else is eating anything. And some of the kids could get away with it. But for me, I couldn't. I continued to pack on the pounds.
Now, you were not an inactive kid. This is very important. You were not inactive. You were going all the time. You
mm-hmm.
were in sports. You even became a cheerleader.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing. I wasn't a stay-at-home, you know, couch potato, you know, person. I was active, and it was my goal, really. I've always been, I like to say, an outgoing person with a personality. And so I didn't want to I never wanted to hide that from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always on the go doing something, whether it was, you know, drum and bugle corps with doing different things with that, or whether it was the cheerleading. I always aspired to still do the same things, even though, you know, I had the weight problem. It didn't stop me. And I think that's important for especially young people to know, is that you might struggle with a weight problem. You might be going through issues at school where you feel like you're not looking like the other girls, or, you know, look at me and look at everyone else, and this is what young men would like to see. You know, really it's important for young people to know, to yes, you may be 50 pounds overweight, you may be 20 pounds overweight, or even more than that, but really begin to love yourself. I know it might sound cliche, but really love yourself where you are right now and be everything that you can be and be fabulous where you are right now in your life. And that's whether you have the pounds packed on or not. And then deal with yourself and where you want to be at that point, but never hold what's inside of you and the greatness inside of you just because you may have a weight problem. That's so, so important, because losing the weight for me, you know, if I was a sad person before at 300 pounds, I'm probably going to be a sad person at 140 pounds. So it's not just all the weight, you know, be everything that you can be today, and then tell yourself, these are the things that I want to change, and work progressively towards reaching those goals, but be great at every stage in your life.
I have to chuckle again at some of your comments in the book. I just love this. You said one little fat cell floating around in your system is cause for concern, because those little rascals multiply faster than rabbits. The next thing you know is the cell you left unattended has invited all of its friends and relatives to have a get-together somewhere conspicuous on your body.
That's right. They were having picnics, cookouts, all of the above.
Women's sleepovers, right?
That's right. That's right.
Now, one of the comments also that you make in your book is that your mother was so anxious because she knew that obesity ran in the family. Now, this wasn't something that was conversation at the dinner table necessarily until you were maturing, and she was getting concerned. Your grandmother had the problem.
Mm-hmm.
She had a problem with
that. Yes.
And it was something that caused them a great deal of concern, and they didn't want you to walk that route. So there we go to that genetic patterning. My husband and I will talk about these things periodically, because in his family, there's what they call the SIBO look. And we had a family picture of his side of the family, and they said, oh, those are SIBOs. And everybody had that particular genetic body design,
okay,
which is, it has, for many of the members of family, that tendency to exactly what your family has. And it doesn't take much.
That's right.
It doesn't take much. All right, now let's go to the next phase. You end up meeting the man of your heart that you end up becoming married to.
Mm-hmm.
And was that something that you were concerned about when you got married? I mean, was this, I mean, he was Mr. Right. The two of you were just, and still are, very happily married. Where were you in weight at the time that you got married?
Oh, I would say I was probably about 165, 170. So literally I became another person. I mean, it was two of me by the time it was all over. And from the beginning, really, Donna, it was something that really worried me, because I speak about it in my book, how Cedric and I met over the telephone first. We had never seen each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big concern that, okay, when we finally were able to meet, was I going to be rejected because of the weight? I mean, how was that going to play out? And really, Cedric is such a big representation in this book. When I say through thick and thin, it's just not about the weight. It's also about our relationship as a man and a woman, as a husband and a wife, as my best friend. Truly, he has been there through thick and thin. And it was something that, and a lot of, I feel like, men and women alike, if you have a husband or a wife or someone that you're even in a relationship with that struggles with weight, you think that, you know, I can rescue them. I can save them. You know, I can help them get better. And it really comes down to a personal decision for that person. But for Cedric, it was really about just being there and loving me through thick and thin, and he has truly been on this path with me from the very, very start. But yes, it was always such a concern, you know, would this be something, you know, that would prevent us from even being able to start a relationship. And I'm so glad, thank God, that, you know, he's been there the whole
way through. Yes, he has been, which I give him a lot of credit, because I know many times a spouse, male or female, will say, well, I just can't take this anymore. And but he wasn't that way. His concern primarily was to, because he loves you so much, he said, I know you're not happy with this. Let's see what we can do. So you did the walking, you went to the gyms, you did all kinds of things. But every time you went on a diet, you ended up gaining more weight. You, you talk about, you know, your weight gains and losses were like the Dow reports. It would, you know, if they put it up on a wall, you had this graph of the peaks and the valleys, and it's, after a while, that gets really, really old. And you said you were a prisoner of an insatiable appetite. It seemed like everything you ate turned to fat. Now, I've got a picture of you at 20 years of age. You don't look 20. You look like you easily could be 50.
Yes.
You were so large then, and you said you were so disillusioned with trying to lose weight because every time you tried a diet, you starve.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. And this brings to mind a story. I remember when I was 17 years of age, I had a supervisor. Her name was Peggy. Peggy had to have been 350 pounds, at least. I mean, this woman was huge. They put her in the hospital, and she gained 5 pounds in the hospital. All they had her on was water. She gained 5 pounds in the first day.
Wow.
And she just, her heart was broken. And I, as long as I live, I will never forget that. When I was 17, seeing this woman in such trauma that she's willing to go into the hospital, be under a starvation program, and she said she was mortified. They put her on the scale. She gained 5 pounds.
My
and you know
goodness.
That's just water weight. So, but here you are. Why couldn't you go on a diet and lose 50 or 60 or 70 pounds like the women on the commercials, Terry? Why couldn't you do that?
You know, really, I felt like I was just, this area of my life was just out of control. And I sat back and I said, you know, what's the problem? What's wrong? Because I know people who have gone on diets and people who have succeeded at going on these diets and losing the weight, but why couldn't I get a hold of this terrible thing that was just, I felt like, ruining my life. And, you know, for people who think that, don't think that you're a lost cause, you know, because you're not. And it's just not about, oh, you know, just push the plate back. You know, let's look at alcoholism or drug addiction. I mean, we don't need alcohol. You don't have to have alcohol to live. You don't have to have drugs to live. But you do with a food addiction. You do have to have food in order to live. And so it's really about finding that balance between eating the right thing or not eating the right thing and going on that up and down, and then your emotions are up and down. You eat when you're happy. You eat when you're up. You eat when you're down. You eat when you're sad. You know, it didn't matter. And at some point within that time, food just becomes your everything. And that's what happened to me. It had become a point to where food was my lover. Food was my friend. Food was what I turned to no matter what. And a lot of people don't realize it's really like being within a prison. And that's why gastric bypass surgery for me was the answer. It really gave me a tool. It's not a quick fix, not by any means of the stretch of imagination. It's not. However, it gave me a tool to be able to take control of the weight problem. And that's why I decided to have the surgery. And now that I've conquered the weight, I've lost all the weight, it's still a daily decision. Every day I still have to make the right choices. You know, it's still an ongoing thing of saying, okay, I need exercise, I have to eat the right things. And for me, Donna, this is what I say. I say, you know what, I do right 90% of the time, and 10% of the time I can cheat. So that really helps me stay on track. But really for me, Donna, having the surgery was really the tool that I really needed to be able to conquer it. And really, to tell you the truth, even people who go on many diets out there, about 1% are successful at keeping the weight off. Mm-hmm. Most people gain that weight back, and I didn't. And that's what kept happening to me, and I thought I was insane, and I wasn't insane. Only 1% of these people can actually lose it and actually keep it off. And what Gastric Bypass has done, it's been 3 years, Donna, and I've been able to maintain my weight, and that's such a huge accomplishment, and it's because I was just given a tool. Not the quick fix, not the answer, and it didn't solve all my problems, but it was just a tool for me to take back my life.
Yes, and I understand that. And this is something that's very important for those of you who are listening to Terry, that what she is saying is very true. This isn't something you just walk in and say, I want to have this done, because the process, and Terry, you can tell us exactly what is done with this process, but you literally end up with a stomach about the size of a chicken egg.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to take in only 1 ounce of food, approximately, when you are doing this. And it takes the body a long time to adapt to this as well. Tell us about the surgery and what it's like afterwards.
Well, the surgery, like you said, most people can hold about 40 to 60 ounces of food at a time. What they do is they create a new pouch, a new stomach, and your old stomach is still there, but they sew that up where food is not able to pass through your old stomach anymore, and they make this new stomach that is 1 ounce. So you can hold 1 ounce of food, and so obviously you see how you can start rapidly losing the weight. The recovery for me went well. I didn't have any complications. There are different things that are associated with the surgery, like any surgery, that could be potential complications that you could have. I happen to not have any. After the surgery was over, it was a process of really learning how to eat again, learning how to know when my body is full. All those things seem so simple. But I really had to learn that all over again to realize even when I'm really hungry. I didn't even really know when I was hungry because I was just eating all the time, mm-hmm. just putting something in my mouth. Whether I was hungry or not, I was eating. And so what the surgery did, it enabled me to, first of all, you know, overnight, literally, one day I'm able to eat 40 to 60 ounces of food like the average person. And then the next day I wake up from surgery and I'm able to eat 1 ounce of food. So guess what? All of the eating and every time I turned to food, that was gone. That wasn't an avenue that I could go down anymore. So mentally, it was something that I really had to face in saying that, you know what, my best friend is gone now, and oh my goodness, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a daily process of just taking it one day at a time to really learn what really made me happy other than food. And the journey has been taking it one step at a time. And the first 5 or 6 months, I would say, was my biggest battle, getting used to the fact that I couldn't eat as much food as I was before, because that's what I loved to do was eat, and it wasn't that way anymore. Getting used to exercising and getting used to a brand new different lifestyle. I tell people all the time I have two birthdays, the one when my mother brought me into this world, and my second birthday is when Dr. Snyder brought the new me into this world, February 17th, 2004, because really it was like learning how to live all over again. It's like starting a new life and making a whole entire life change. And so the Terry that never exercised and always ate now became the Terry that couldn't turn to food anymore, because now I had a tool. So I would say the first 6 months were the hardest. After that, it became a lot easier. My body had healed, and I started to look at food as something that was something I needed in order to live, not living so I could just eat all the time. And now at 3 years, I've kept off the weight, and people ask me all the time, would you do it over? And I tell people, yes, I would do it 10 times over again.
Well, you have been conscientiously attentive. And I will have to say, I've known of people that have gone through this, and I know of one woman I can think of right now where she actually went the opposite way. After she'd had the surgery, she managed to, you know, lose the weight, because that's all you can take in is an ounce of food at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just like you say in your book, that there are those people that even though they have the surgery, they're not able to change their patterns, and she ended up putting weight back on.
Yes, and that's very possible, and that's why it's important for people just not to see, you know, the outside of going from a big person to a small person. It's so much more than that. It's really about discovering yourself and discovering really what's inside of you and really what makes you tick. Really, mm-hmm. It is, because mm-hmm. you've had food there for so long being almost your everything to really finding out the true person you really are. And you have to be ready for that change. Just like anything that we change in our lives, you have to be ready for that change and know that there's a lot of things, a lot of processes that have to be different now that you've taken a different path. And some people don't realize. They just see I go from fat to skinny, and that's all I see. But it's so much more than that. So you have to have a made-up mind before making a decision like this. And I encourage people to make sure that you have a good doctor, that you can actually sit down and hear all the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups and the downs of what gastric bypass is about, or lap band surgery is out there as well, and really make sure that this is something that you want to do, because it's not just gonna, you know, it's not a quick fix. I can't say that enough, Donna. It's not the quick fix. You really have to take responsibility and really be committed and really be clear about what you want out of your life after making such a major decision, because it is about change and it is about a new lifestyle. And are you ready for that lifestyle? Because if you're not, then you will backpedal, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true. And that's what I like about your book, From Thick to Thin, Terry, because you are so candid in your material. You talk about the plastic surgery you went through afterwards, because let's face it, you lost over 100 pounds, 160 pounds to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of weight that is gone, and the skin cannot bounce back from that like a brand new rubber band. So you had to have surgery to bring your body into its shape the way it needed to be.
Yes, I do talk about that in the book, Donna. Is the chapter on that is nip it, tuck it, or do something with it.
Well, they're going to have to get your book to find out all the rest of the details.
Yes.
Because I think you are such a beautiful woman, and I think your willingness to go public and to talk about what you've been through, to really look at the raw facts of it, not mm-hmm. just the fact that you look so beautiful, which you do, and you have to take care of yourself to stay looking that way. But it is paying attention.
Yes.
It is a different life. Let's face it, if you were used to eating, you know, 10, 20,000 calories a day, and now you go down to 1 ounce every
mm-hmm.
few hours, that's not the same. You can't
That's right.
go to the buffet table and eat the way you used to eat or do things the way you do. It's just not going to work.
That's right.
It's not going to work. Well, Terry, we're almost out of time here. You have a website of terrylipsy.com, and I want my audience to know it's TerriLipsey.com. If you want to talk to Terry about this, she's more than happy to, you know, answer your email, so just go to her website. But understand, when she's talking about this, it's because this is an option that can be considered. But you want, if this is something, I know we have a member of our family that has been considering this because they have similar problem, Terry, that you have had.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I've just had it. I've got to do something, because they've tried all kinds of options. So they're exploring this. I told them to listen to the show today because you were going to be with us. But
yes.
Through thick and thin, Terry Lipsy is my guest. Terry, do you, in about 30, 45 seconds here, do you have a comment you want to leave with my listeners today?
Yes, that, you know, no matter where you are in your struggle, if you're struggling with obesity or you know someone that you love is struggling with a problem, you know, it's really about finding the support in order to get you where you need to be to reach those weight loss goals. And gastric bypass surgery, that's what I did. That was for me. Is that the only way? No. I really truly believe that it's not so much the mechanism to reach your goal, finding the right mechanism, it's really the intent. It's your intention. So if your intention is to lose the weight, then you can lose the weight. And that's whether you decide to have a surgery or whether you decide to go on a new eating program, start a new eating program, you can lose the weight. You can definitely lose the weight. And so be encouraged to know that there is hope. Don't give up on dreaming. Keep your dreams ahead of you and don't give up on those, and be everything that you absolutely can be. And Donna, I like to say also for all of your listeners, I also want to give you all a free CD. When you go to my site and visit, leave me your contact information and I'll mail that CD out for you. It's a free CD for anyone who wants one, and it's called Weight No Longer, W-E-I-G-H-T, Weight No Longer. And so if you have a loved one that really just needs some encouragement and to know, you know, don't stop here. Don't you wonder what's on the other side of those pounds. I always wondered what is on the other side of all of this weight. And guess what? For me, it's been a brand new life, and you can have a brand new life.
Terry Lipsey has been my guest. Her wonderful book, Through Thick and Thin. Her website, terrylipsey.com. Don't go away. This is Donna Sebo. Terry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
And we are going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. For those of you that did not get Terry Lipsey's website, I want to be sure and give that out. That's TerrilipsEY.com. And she's just wonderful. Her book, From Thick to Thin, is something that's worth reading because it gives an insight into a very controversial topic. But being an individual who has had to deal with the Battle of the Bulge for as far back as I can remember, it is something that is quite challenging. And in our society especially, it's always the pencil thin look. And gee whiz, what was it? I think someone once said if Marilyn Monroe were put up in front of somebody today, they'd call her fat. That's farthest from my mind. I thought the woman had a gorgeous figure. And most people, I think, would say the same thing. But there was that time when it was all of a sudden, you've got to be really, really skinny. And let me share something with you. My mother, when I was a little girl, there was this wonderful seamstress that she knew. And this woman was just phenomenal. She used to work for Blackwell, who gives out the worst and the best dressed every year. He's done it for a long time. Well, when I was a little girl, the lady's name was Jane, and we would often go and spend time, and Mr. Blackwell designed clothes and would have these fashion shows during the year, and Jane invited my mother to attend one of them. And she worked for this very upscale dress store that dealt with customized clothing. Well, I'll never forget being a little girl and looking at all of these models, and of course they were all just slender as pencils. And she, after the fashion show was done, which was absolutely gorgeously, gorgeously wonderful, I can remember her talking to my mother and saying that because she was a seamstress and Blackwell would send in these wonderful, wonderful gowns and dresses that were just so exquisitely designed, she said, I have to adapt them to these young women, these models. Now, these models were anywhere from the age of about 19 to 22 at that time. And she said it really made her very sad because the style was they had to be extremely skinny. And these young women, to stay thin, would smoke heavily. Cigarettes were in their hands. And she said, I could pick out every bone in their body. That's how thin they are. And so she said, it looks very glamorous, but these young women are so skinny. Well, at that time, nutrition wasn't something that was too big a deal. But the mindset of that was being skinny was in. And it's so refreshing to me today that we are coming out more and more with an understanding that puffing away on cigarettes absolutely is a detriment. And number two, being skinny like that, especially for women, is not healthy. And we've got this mindset that that's supposed to be attractive. And I'm so relieved that that is changing slightly. Because it's still there in the mentality. I mean, look at how many young people we have today, young women. Not so much the guys, they seem to have a little bit more common sense, but the young women who think they've got to be, again, like pencils. And it's a sad thing because not everybody is going to have that naturally endowed no-hip look, and we women are supposed to have some curves, for heaven's sakes. That's what Mother Nature endowed us with. But instead of trying to strip it away, we are becoming aware that we can be attractive. And if you were to see Terry today, she has a beautiful figure. She is trim, but she has a mature figure. She looks beautiful in her clothes, and she dresses well. And it's something that we need to be consciously aware of, that we have to take care of ourselves physically. And I have these memories when I was small, hearing things and seeing things because of having the opportunity through my mother to be around certain individuals that were associated with fashion and with dressing people. But it's amazing what we do. And I'm very glad to see that we're shifting so that we are becoming more aware of what looks right on someone. And we want to be healthy. We don't want to be obese. We don't want to do that because it's not going to be to our advantage. When you're obese, you can't move. When you're obese, you just cannot do things that you would be able to do if you weren't. That is a factor. So, but you want to be healthy, and that's the one thing that Terry, just as she said, she has to pay attention to, and that's something we need to be aware of. So if you've got a healthy, efficient body system, you want to be sure that you respect it and honor it, and you want to treat it like a temple. That's an old adage, but it's worth remembering. You want to respect it and honor it. Because, folks, this is the chassis you've got. This is the one you've been endowed with. Don't hate it. Don't criticize it. Bless it. Appreciate it. Treat it well. And understand that you're a unique person. And in being that unique person, you're going to have your own unique style that you can look like $1 million bucks if you if you take care of yourself. And more than that, you're going to have good health. And that's what we want you to enjoy, because we want you to enjoy quality of life. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open now. Hey, if you'd like to call in, let me light up your intuitive insight. I'd be delighted to do that. I'll turn on your intuitive insight, as well as giving you insight into who and what you are. 877-876-5227 is the number in the U.S. Or from Canada, you can call me on 888-810-8322. Or we have another line of 530-876-3222. Now, don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about cats. TJ Banks is going to be my guest, and this is a woman that has a passion for those wonderful furry friends, and we're going to enjoy her book, Cat Song. So do you want to tell your friends about that? Also, next week, we've got a wonderful lineup. We are going to be talking about ghosts. Oh, I always love to talk about ghosts, but these are special ghosts. They're the ghosts of New Orleans. Yes, that wonderful, wonderful, fabulous, fabulous city that has just a history that's phenomenal, even though so much of it was floated away after the hurricane, but the tales are still there. And Dana Scholler is going to be our guest, and she's also a researcher in the area of parapsychology researcher. So we're going to be finding out all kinds of good stuff. Then we are going to be talking with a nurse, Elaine Dillack, next Tuesday, and it's a fascinating true life story about MS. Do you know of anybody that has multiple sclerosis? Well, if you do, you're not going to want to miss this. Her book is titled, They Said It Didn't Make Sense, MS, The Procaron Story. And when they said sense, it's C-E-N-T-S, not S-E-N-S-E. Then we'll be talking about marketing. If you're a small business person, you'll enjoy Gina Poole, When Your Small Business Is You, The Marketing Handbook. You're going to like it. Then we're going to be talking about taking space. Feel like you can't breathe. You don't have enough time in the day for yourself. Well, Bob Pocuccio is going to be my guest, and we'll find out how you can set that up for just yourself and make your life more comfortable. And then Jennifer Loudon is going to be telling us how we can organize our life. So back to back, we're going to have some wonderful insights for you, wonderful lineup of guests. And I want you to know, if you have a question or a comment about subject matter, or if you would like to give me information, I've got an email. Just send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. Now, understand that if you want to ask me a question about dreams or some experiences that you're having, I'd be delighted to be able to help you understand what you're going through. The greatest thing I feel about doing this show is being able to not just share all of the wonderful things with so many different people that I have the opportunity to bring to the radio airwaves, but also to share my insights with you, my own intuitive talents, which I've worked with for so many years. If I can help you develop yours, I would be delighted to do that. So give me a call if you like at 877-876-5227. Or from Canada, 888-810-8322, and also our other direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, I wanted to let you know, here we were talking about weight, but they have found that we've been developing a new type of couch potato. That is something that's evolved. Do you know where it's coming from? The internet. Yep. So many people are spending so much time on their computers, they're developing physical and mental problems. And there is one study that was done that found more than 1 in 8 U.S. adults are hooked. They have a very difficult time staying offline for several days at a time. And internet addiction can lead to disregard for health or appearance, sleep deprivation, decreased physical activity, and social interaction with others. Also, they experience repetitive motion injuries. There's another report that came out with the information that 5 to 10% of the population likely will experience internet addiction and might need psychological help. Well, what do you think the solution would be? Gee whiz, I'll give you all of 5 seconds. Get up away from the cotton picking computer. It's very simple. Set a timer. No biggie. If you're working on the computer, and I know how mind-involving it can get, and the time just isn't there, you don't know it, set a timer. And then that way, when that timer goes off, you know you have to get up, you have to stretch, go get yourself a cup of tea, walk around the block, take the dogs out, whatever it is that you need to do. But take a break. Move. Makes a difference. I'm amazed at how many people get carpal tunnel syndrome and all kinds of things because they just don't take a break. They don't know when to do that. Well, that's just a little bit of inside track information on how to keep healthy and well, even if you have a passion for the Internet. Trust me, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stay right where it is. It'll be there waiting for you. That's one nice thing about computers. You can turn them off, and they'll be there happy to greet you in the next second. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. We will be...
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green. March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then you're welcome to ask me after I give you my insights, any question you like. Telephone number 877-876-5227 or 888, if you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. It has been my observation for many, many years that we often do not utilize the elderly in our environment. So often these very talented people, worldly, experienced individuals have been ignored. Well, things are changing, and I'm so glad that they are. Because when you have professionals that have had very successful lives, and just because they turn to their 70s or their 80s, and by the way, 70s and 80s are more like middle age anymore, because most of these people in that age bracket today are very functional and very, very active. Well, so many of these people have been turned out to pasture. And this is something that's so silly, it's absolutely ridiculous, because they've got all this knowledge. Well, some of them have the opportunity to go and teach, but many of them have felt like society didn't want them anymore. So they just retire and retreat into their little cubby holes of experience. Not some folks. Let me tell you what a lady by the name of Nicole found. This is a discovery. When I read the material, I said, oh, I've got to share it. This is all about the new stars of cyberspace. Yes, and I think that this is awesome. Nicole was really going through some situations in her life, especially with money. She had graduated from college and had school loans and was just having a real tough time trying to get her mind around how to manage her money more effectively. Well, she heard from a grapevine about a new group called the Elder Wisdom Circle. The Elder Wisdom Circle. Now, this, she found out, is a nationwide organization of seniors that offer free advice through the Internet. And advice seekers, all they have to do is type their queries on the group's website, where an elder will give some advice, And they have been dubbed the cyber grandparents, and they're web savvy, and they love to help. And they do everything from talking about non-flowering begonias to helping teenagers. And they say the premise is that because we're older, we have a lot of know-how, and we can just about talk about everything. And she thought, I wonder if they could help me. Well, she decided she was going to check out these people. And this one group, they're all through the nation. This one group that she found out about is in Maryland. And so she decided she would go in and visit these people. And this particular group is located in a retirement community there. And she said it was just a curious environment. It wasn't what she expected. And she enters a room where there's 14 seniors sitting. And at 10:15 sharp in the morning, the elders meet. And they just start answering all of these emails. And she said, we just have a blast. One of the ladies is in her early 70s, but do you know the average age of these cyber grandparents? Is the 90s? They're in their 90s. So anyway, they get to work, and here Nicole is. She's seeing all of these different questions being, you know, responded to on the computer, and she said, oh, it was just wonderful watching their interaction. She said they got a letter from one woman with a relationship problem, and there was a 96-year-old lady there, Stephanie Martinson. She really got upset over the query. Seems like the woman's fiancé wasn't pulling his weight financially. Should she kick him to the curb? Guess what Stephanie said? She said, dump the guy. He's a real turkey. And they got, you know, the others in the group started giving information. Here their fingers, their elderly fingers are just typing as fast as they can, giving out these answers here. And Nicole said she got so excited she wanted to participate. And it was just going on. And they had another question where, do you have advice on teaching children to be respectful? And one of the ladies there said the politeness is the thing to do and say the kindest thing in the kindest way. That was from Dorothy Thompson. She's 91 years of age. This was the wisdom that was going out. And so Nicole was chatting with them, and she said, this is absolutely fabulous. And when she posed her question about the financial quandary she was in, and one, Dorothy, the 91-year-old, said to her, spend a little, save a little. She said, wow, it just seemed to fit exactly with what I needed to do. So she said, Elder Wisdom Circle, I think, is a godsend. And here's some information about this wonderful, wonderful organization. And if you have any older people in your life that need to have a purpose, this might be something that would be right up their alley. Maybe not, but gee whiz, you know, there's something about when you can share your knowledge and understanding, it really makes a difference. Doug Meckelson, who is a former California businessman, often turned to his grandmother, he said, Reveille, for advice. And this is how Elder Wisdom Circle started up in 2001. He said, I thought it would be great to have an organization where seniors could share their life experiences to help others. Now, today, the organization boasts of 600 members with 47 chapters across the country. And collectively, listen to this, collectively, the seniors have delivered 63,000 responses. Isn't that incredible? Now, if you or someone you know might be interested in getting involved, if you want to become a cyber grandparent, all you have to be is willing. You are chosen because of your willingness to share experiences, not just opinions. Members must be at least 60 years of age, provide references, and complete a screening process. There is a 3-hour per week commitment, and some of the best advice gets collected in a weekly advice column that appears in 15 different publications. Now, these elders have a book due out this year. I hope somebody that's listening, if they know about it, they send me a copy. And they're also in negotiations for a TV pilot. Now, here's the website that you can go to, elderwisdomcircle.org. Elderwisdomcircle.org. What a fabulous, fabulous idea. And all of those wonderful people with years of understanding and experience, I think to be able to share, to be able to be interactive, not only will it bring back a social aspect to life that maybe you think is pretty boring and dull, but my goodness, think of all the wonderful people you can meet. Think of the fun you're going to have interacting with others. See, there's always something to do. Wherever there's a need, there's going to be somebody that's going to come up with a resolution. And so often people talk about how we don't have families anymore. We're a very mobile people. Around the globe, people are becoming more and more mobile. So isn't it wonderful to know that there's going to be that link through the wonder of technology that enables you to connect with someone? It's private, it belongs to you, and they're there to help. They care, and they're willing to share. I think it's marvelous. Again, the elderwisdomcircle.org. I think it's a fabulous idea. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're almost out of time. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to be talking about cats, those wonderful furry creatures that have minds of their own. And usually they're the ones that run the household, at least from someone that I know that takes care of about 75 of them. That's pretty much the way it goes. But they're wonderful, wonderful friends to have in life. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have a richness inside of yourself that belongs only to you. And if you cultivate that, you take care of it, and do good things for you, you'll always be a winner. Always. This is Donna Sebo. Go out. Let your light shine. We'll be talking with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.